Okay, so preparing for the step report was about like it was preparing for step. A lot of things come together at the very, very, very last minute. So, and I even walked out of the house without my Bible, so it was like, oh boy, here we go. So anyway, Lord really blessed step this year. It was kind of an interesting year because it was a year where we, all of us who were involved in the planning and leading aspect of the program, it was a year where we pretty much had the idea that this could be it. And we've kind of said that over the last couple of years, but Sony and I are leaving. Dick and Nancy are moving back to New Zealand, and that is just a key component to the whole program, has been at least. Bill and Angela, it's always been difficult for the last 4 years since they moved back to Columbia, and so it's difficult for them to make it back. And so anyway, you know, there's a lot of different things that added together for us to go, you know, this could very much be the last hurrah for quite a few of us. And even John was saying, man, you know, if Dick's gone, it's going to be hard for me to go back and spend all that time down there without my mate, as he says, without my mate down there, without my friend, my coworker. So, but in saying that, with that kind of cloud maybe hanging overhead, it was really interesting to see how the Lord really worked in a way that I personally didn't expect to see. And in a lot of ways, many, many doors were just blown completely open for new locations, new opportunities, new ideas. And when we stopped and we looked at all that, it was like, the Lord can do whatever he wants. If he wants this program to continue on, hey, he can provide in ways that we would never think of or imagine. So obviously, I haven't given you too much detail. I'd like to give you a little bit of detail. What I'm going to do, I'll give you briefly some idea of what this evening is going to look like. I'm going to try to share briefly, and if that doesn't come very naturally to me for some reason. But if you see me looking like this and going like that, it means Sony's doing this number. And I'll be done. But the theme verse this year, I guess I could share that. This one's not going to help you much unless you know Spanish, Oscar. But it's from John chapter 17, verse 3. And basically what it says is that it's when Jesus is praying to his Father, and he says it, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And as we have spent the last several years, and I think this was year number 7 for the program, as we've spent time in California doing outreaches, evangelistic outreaches to these Latino kids, that's been the focus of our time, is to share the good news that for every lost sinner in the world, Jesus Christ came and died and took the punishment of their sins. And by faith in who he is and what he's done, they can have forgiveness of sins. They can spend eternity with God, their creator. And that's what they were designed to be. They were designed to have a perfect relationship with their creator and to have that relationship last forever. That's the good news of the gospel. It only comes through the person and the work of Jesus Christ, though. There's no other way. And so eternal life, what does it mean? What is that phrase? What does it mean to go to heaven? And really, to fully understand it, we really have to make sure that we understand it from God's perspective. And when Jesus himself gives us a bit of a definition, it's well worth listening to. And Jesus gives a bit of a definition here. He says, "This is eternal life." That these people, and he even says later on in this chapter, I'm not just talking about the people right here, but even those who will believe down the road, years to come, says that these people may know you, God the Father, the only true God, and that they may know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so it's a knowing. And of course, there's different types of knowing. You can know mentally, and you can know experientially. And I know that's probably not new news to most of us, or maybe any of us, but not to just know that, okay, there's a God out there. I believe that there's a God out there. But do you know him? And maybe a more important question would be, does God know you? Because there's many that are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And didn't I do that in your name? And he's going to say, I never knew you. In fact, you even worked iniquity. You worked lawlessness. Depart from me. So it's probably more important that he knows us than we know him, right? But to know him, it's a relationship. So that's eternal life. And that's what we wanted to think about as we were, as a team, thinking about how we were going to share this good news with the kids. What are we going to bring to them as a hope? A relationship that can be right with our Creator through the person and the work of Christ. So that was our aim, and this was a good reminder for us. And we had these shirts in English and Spanish. And as you can see, they are in safety orange color. Of course, here in Wisconsin, it might be considered more of a hunter's orange, but I guess it depends on where you come from. In California, with all the roads, you need the safety orange so you don't get hit by other motorists. And all joking aside, the Lord kept us very much safe on the roads, not a single incident. And that's been a miracle, because I think out of the 7 years that we've been there, driving on some of the busiest freeways there are, with vans full of people, to and from, day in, day out, not a single incident the Lord has spared us that. That's just a small miracle. You know, you take that for granted, but the Lord's in that. And that's been a great encouragement. I'm sidetracked. Anyway, we had 21 team members. That does not include myself, Sonia, John, or the Yarrells, or the Loudons, any of that. That's just people that came to be a part of the team. And we had 6 from Wisconsin, 2 of which are here with us tonight. You'll hear more from them. 4 from Minnesota, 7 from California. So you can see we had a pretty good number of locals as well. 1 from Missouri, 2 from Florida, 1 from Nebraska. Total of 21. And if my math is off, you can come help me with it later. But it was a good number. And we basically had a 2-week program. And we did something. We kind of started this last year, but we did something that we haven't usually done. Out of 6 or 7 years of the whole program, the general approach was to have a week of classes and training and preparation, and then the second week would be for the outreaches in the evenings. Last year, we started something new, and we had a new location open up. We wanted to try to make the best of our opportunity and of our time, so we thought, let's do an outreach the first week as well. And we thought, oh my goodness, what are we going to do for preparation? The kids aren't going to have enough time to prepare stuff. This is really crazy. So we thought, okay, well, we'll only do a 4-day outreach the first week. We'll go Tuesday through Friday. And so we did that last year. This year, we just went all in. And so we had 2 weeks of outreach. And so the team members arrived on Saturday. And Monday evening, we went to the apartments. And we had 2 different locations the first week that we went to. Is that right? Yes. We had a location in Westminster. We had a location in Santa Ana. And our team of 21 was divided in 2, along with our leaders and other locals, also divided up into those 2 teams. And we got to spend 2 hours of every evening, Monday through Friday, with kids at these locations. The second week, we had the same approach in the evenings. We went to 3 different locations. We went to a different location in Santa Ana. We went to a location in Gardena and a location in Long Beach. And so our team of 21 plus peripheral individuals got smaller and smaller as we divided now into 3 teams. And yet that was still enough to go around at these different locations. All said and done, 2 weeks, 20 team members plus some, 5 different locations, a little over 300 kids we got to interact with. And that's just kind of interesting when you think about it. And kids usually from the age of about 4 to 14, not so much on the youngest margin of that age range, not so much on the oldest margin of that age range, but more in the middle was generally what we would have for kids as far as ages. And 300 plus So that was a neat opportunity, really neat opportunity. We had a lot of new people, and we had some people that returned. In fact, we had several people that hadn't been to the program for a year or two and came back. And so that was nice. In fact, two of those people were girls who brought back their prospective husbands-to-be. So that was actually kind of what happened with Sony and I. So that was kind of humorous to watch from my new vantage point as a husband now am. So anyway, that was really neat. So it was a good mix of new people that also had experience too. And so the Lord blessed that. So briefly, here in a minute, I'm going to show you a four-minute video that's going to just give some images of what our 2 weeks was like. We spent the mornings of those 2 weeks preparing like crazy. We had lessons to study for, lessons that would be taught that evening to the outreach. We were doing sessions where leaders were teaching the team members. We were doing devotionals. We were going through the lessons. We were doing other things, culture and other things like that, just to help equip the team for the outreaches and also wanting to encourage them as believers themselves. STEP has always had that twofold purpose, not just to take people out and to use them to evangelize, but to equip them as individual believers, to help disciple and encourage and challenge them in their personal walk with the Lord. So the morning was used for all that time, and it was a busy schedule, so I'm sure you'll hear that confirmed from other people, but the Lord saw us through. So what I'll do is I'll show a video, and then John's going to introduce two of the gals that are here with us that were on the program this year. And then after that, they will share a little bit about the program from their vantage point and some of what they maybe were challenged by or experienced or disliked. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to say. So anyway, and then John will have some closing thoughts on the program. All right, so let's see if we can get this going for you here. Don't really tell much of a story, but at the same time, they do tell a little bit of what happened out there. And it was interesting because each of these locations was very unique in its own way. Had its own atmosphere, its own dynamic, its own amount of kids that were there. One of the very first location that pictures were shown of was a location off of Townsend Street in Santa Ana. And our outreaches run from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And one of the nights that we were there the first week, I wasn't there personally, but during about 7 p.m., while our team was at this location, just one building down and around the corner on the street, right in front of this building, there was a 14-year-old kid that was stabbed to death right in the middle of our outreach. And it was just around the corner, so it was just out of sight of where we were. But it's one of those things where you kind of realize more the gravity of the situation. And you realize that some of these kids that you're dealing with here, that you're interacting with, they need the good news of the gospel, because the world that they live in is vicious. And a 14-year-old kid gets stabbed to death. What could someone have against a 14-year-old enough to want to kill him? Now, I did just counsel at a camp up north, and I counseled junior high boys, so I might have a few ideas of why you'd want to kill a junior high boy. But I'm not trying to, I shouldn't make a joke like that. But really, that was the gravity of that situation. So much so that we could not take home one of our cars that night. It was inside the crime scene. And I had to go pick it up the next morning. But, you know, that's life down there. And those are the kids that we're going to interact with. And how much sweeter is the gospel to them? We hope, we trust, and we pray. So it was just a reminder of how important our time is down there, and that every individual counts. And what if that kid had actually been at our outreach instead around the corner? Is there a chance that it never would happen? Who knows? But there's always that thought. And reach who we can. So anyway, I won't take any more time because I take enough as it is. And I'll let John go ahead and come up and introduce the two gal people that are here with us at his leisure, because he knows them and is responsible for getting them to come. So I'll let John take it. And then, Holly, you'll share first after he's done, if you don't mind.
I want to add that the night of the stabbing, the police cordoned off the whole area, and our kids couldn't leave, and the cars and vans couldn't leave. And then when the police finally let the kids leave after dark, way after dark, they kept one vehicle, was it, overnight to look for, to see if it was involved. It wasn't. And then somebody went early in the morning to pick up the car. We had, this year, we had how many, five or six new kids? All right, something like that. My granddaughter came from Florida, and my son, and we had other new kids, and we like to have the old ones back also. And Holly Miller came for the first time. And she'll give a report, and then Kirsten, Sonia's sister, has been there about 5 or 6 years. And we may need her next year if we have a team to help with some of the work on organizing and getting a few things going. So I'll let these two girls, Holly first, come on up and talk about the team. We were glad to have Holly. And come on. And we were glad to have her. Holly's from, the chapel. Stone pit, gravel pit. Where are you from? Something to do with, Stone Bank. I know. Okay. So, Andy Miller's daughter.
When I first arrived in California, I was very excited to start mission work right away with a group of people just as enthusiastic. Being in a new area, away from those I'm usually dependent on, forced me to be more reliant on God than ever before. During the first children's ministry, I was a bit concerned about the language barrier, but I soon discovered that almost everyone there spoke English too. It was also comforting to have a few Spanish-speaking team members. While teaching and playing with these kids, you really learn how hungry they are for attention and how desperately they need the hope that the gospel gives. This program really opened my eyes beyond the stereotypes of immigrants and showed me that these are just the people God will use for his glory. I was really encouraged Sunday mornings while attending the Spanish side of church. Even though I didn't understand anything, I could feel the energy and passion that the Latino people had for the Lord. Having a busy schedule helped me shut out the distractions and focus on the work at hand, something I found a bit more challenging when I returned home. One of the things that I found especially effective in getting over this was a lesson that Mr. Duckhorn spoke on. He was speaking on distractions that keep you from the Lord, and one of the points that he made was to lay aside weights. Whether good or bad, weights hold you back from finishing the race God has set before us with endurance. After a mountaintop experience at STEP, I knew I couldn't just continue from where I left off. I truly developed a heart for the lost while in California, and I don't think anything could ever change that. To those who supported me financially and in their prayers, I thank you beyond explanation for the life-changing experience that STEP has offered me.
I apparently missed the orange t-shirt memo and wore last year's instead. But so the initials, STEP, they don't stand for what you think they stand for. They stand for all right, you all got that? Keep that in mind. We're a really mature team. Anyway, with that being said, my name is Kirsten Scouten. I'm from the Sheboygan Falls Assembly, Zion. I have been on the team four times out of, I think you said seven, eight-ish. Starting in 2009, 2010, and then last year and this past step. The first time back in 2009, my mom finally allowed Duckhorns to convince her to let me come as a 17-year-old. And ever since then, they couldn't get rid of me, even if they wanted to. So, honestly, the first time I got to the chapel at Westminster, I was terrified. I was meeting new people. I had no idea who they were. I was going to be doing things that I was not used to doing. And it was a scary environment for me. I wasn't used to it. But within a few days, I was already getting my comfort zone completely stretched farther than I had ever thought it would be within just a short amount of time. I was meeting people left and right that would become my lifelong friends and that I would value their relationships and their friendships so much more than I could ever have thought. I want to stress three main points that have been really pronounced within the programs each year. Those were personal spiritual growth. The second was a huge emphasis on missions awareness. And the third is reaching the lost with salvation. With those in mind, I'd like to start out with personal growth. It's always a challenge every day to grow and to become the best version that God has created you to be. We'll never get there, but it's always a joy, and it's just a joy to always try. No matter what your age is, no matter where you live, no matter what you're doing, there's always new challenges, and it's exciting to grow closer to God every day with what you're doing. The step leaders really try to work with the team on why struggles happen in our lives, how to deal with struggles, how to work through struggles, and how to learn from them, especially learning from pain, learning from hard things, learning from things like step team where you're being stretched. You always have to be learning. And you're always striving to be closer to Jesus Christ. It's never easy, but it's totally worth it. Some of the ways we are pushed is to be stretched is to be in the unfamiliar atmosphere. There are new people, like I said, new ideas, new viewpoints, different theology, different interpretations, different ways of working, different techniques. All these differences can either pull the team apart or can unify them. And this on step, it was really, we were really pushed to be a unified team, to be one working for Jesus Christ, and that we could preach the gospel. Another area that we were pushed was in personal growth was our daily devotions. Each morning we get to the chapel, and one of the leaders, generally Bill Loudon, would lead the team in a time of group devotions where he'd go over some questions, and then he'd split us up into groups of two or three, or even just have us go out on our own. And those were designed to really try and focus on why we're there, why we're on step, and maybe do some personal reflection, self-examination, what we're living our lives for, who we're trying to honor. Is it ourselves? Is it God? Is it each other? So those times were really great in that we could just spend time one-on-one with God or with a couple of people and going over questions and getting different perspectives and answering questions in that way that Bill or the leader of the devotions had set out. The second point that was definitely stressed by the leaders is the need for missions and missions awareness. Acts 1:8, Jesus commanded his disciples to start in their Jerusalem and then to move out into Judea and then into the far ends of the earth. Step really encouraged each member to start in their own Jerusalem, their own immediate area, whether that's in their own home, if their parents aren't saved, if there's relatives that aren't saved, and then to work in their church or in their community. Once they're able to be recognized that they're mature and they're trying to grow, then to move on out into the world, maybe even go overseas, or whatever the Lord calls you. Just be open and to be a person that Jesus can talk to. And it was really emphasized that no matter how small the job is, it's being done for Jesus. It's being done for God. It's being done for the glory of the Lord. And whether that's sorting through papers before the outreaches, making sure there's 10 outreach lesson sheets in each bag for each group, whatever the job, it was really just you do it for the Lord. Definitely that we were supposed to try to start small and grow from there. If you try and tackle a big job right off the bat, you're probably not going to make it and you're going to get frustrated. So I just encourage to just take it each step at a time. My final point is reaching the lost with the gospel. Obviously, that's the main point of STEP is we're going out, we're working with these kids. They've never heard the gospel before. If they have, it might be warped. It might be, you don't know what they've experienced before. So if we can show the love to these kids for the first time or the true love of Jesus Christ for the first time, it's just an amazing experience. Reaching the lost couldn't have possibly been emphasized by the leaders of STEP enough. Our goal was to share salvation with anyone we came in contact with. When we went on the field day into Los Angeles, we were encouraged to bring Bible tracts along and to hand them out to anybody we passed. We didn't have very much time to sit and get into conversations, but people, you hand it to them, hopefully they'll read it at least. When we got to the outreaches, we were encouraged to just show as much love to these kids as possible. They might be from rough backgrounds, they might be abused, you never know what's going on. So if we can reach out to them with loving arms, it really affects them hugely. And showing love to the kids means that we care, and it shows love to the parents as well. That was really encouraging. Sometimes it's not the kids who are getting saved. It's often just the mothers who come and watch. And the second week of my outreach location, I was in Santa Ana, there was for sure two women who got saved, and just seeing the joy on their faces when they accepted it, it was amazing. And so to be in a situation where you're so encouraged by being around the gospel, and that you could be the person to share Jesus' love with somebody and that they could receive salvation from that. With that being said, there are there are tons of stories, memories, lessons learned that I could tell you guys. The lives changed not only of each team member, but also of the kids and their parents. But obviously I can't ramble on for forever. And I just wanted to emphasize those three points especially, so reaching the lost, missions awareness, and personal spiritual growth. I'd like to finish with saying that STEP has taught me especially some very big lifelong lessons that I couldn't possibly have learned at such a young age or anywhere else doing any other thing. God put the right people into the right positions at the right time, and his gospel went out. I personally have produced a lot of growth through my 4 years on STEP, and I am incredibly thankful for that. God's work is not an easy one. Obviously, it's exhausting, it's stressful, it's tiring, it's emotional. Working with the kids can just, like Jeremy said, it can just be so frustrating working with 9-10-year-old kids. They don't want to sit still. They're squirming, they're shouting, they're punching, they're throwing firecrackers right at our feet. And it can get pretty hard, but knowing that we're doing it for Jesus and for salvation and that these kids might have a chance to be saved is what we need to keep in mind. And that being said, that is why I continue to be part of STEP, and I wanted to continue to be part of STEP. That is why I've loved it so much and why I've grown so much. And I want to make sure that I start in my own Jerusalem first, and that I can learn to take the small steps and not turn any job down. I can make sure that I've established my relationship with God, and I'm working towards the final end goal of reaching the lost with salvation.
Okay, I'm to wrap it up. This sign, by the way, I made up about 3 years ago. I put on the blackboard one morning, or the whiteboard. We call them blackboards anymore. And I put that on there, so I'm proud she remembered that. That's something she remembered from one of my classes. Thank you, Holly and Kirsten. When you get new kids, you always wonder how they'll fit in. You always wonder how the other kids will embrace them and welcome them to the team. I couldn't hear what Holly said, but I read what she wrote, and wow, nicely done. Holly did a good job and became part of the group and had a real heart for not only working with the kid, but several times left the group of kids and went to speak to adults. And she said that she'd like to come back. Send her back, okay? If we have another one, send her back. And Kirsten has been with us a long time and knows the ropes and has been part of many of the different sites that we've had. She's been to practically all of them, I would guess, and sees what's going on. And Kirsten has been a great addition. Now, we're not sure about next year because Dick Yarrow's retiring October 1st, going back to New Zealand. And of course, you know the word mate is friend in New Zealand. And I'm losing a mate of 45 years, and it's really difficult. 45 years we've been working together, whether in Columbia or here in America, putting this idea together when we were just strolling around New Zealand having meetings and talking. And it is really an emotional thing to see him go. Now, the new leader of LEM, Latino Evangelic Ministry, is Julio Lopez from Guatemala. Julio has been working with the assemblies, and Julio has radio ministry that goes all over Latin America. And he's the new director, and he wants the team to keep going. So we're losing a lot of leadership, and we may call on someone like Kirsten to help out, to help guide some of the things and do some of the work that in preparation. We're going to need a lot of help. And of course, my job is to recruit. The kids that I've been able to recruit, what can I say? These young people have been tops from Nebraska and Iowa and Minnesota and northern Wisconsin. And these kids have been the best. And when my granddaughter came, she's a little shy, and Holly is, I wondered how they would fit. And these people just embrace them and bring them in. And so they become part of it, and they are excellent. This year we had one of the young men ask his girlfriend, Abby Kramer, to marry him. Now, Abby's been on the team quite a while, and she said yes. And I don't know where he got the money, but he gave her quite a rock, and he showed around all this stuff. So, and Beth Hansen brought her boyfriend for the first time, and he wants to come back. They want to come back. One of the things we need when we're out there, now you see, the kids you know can speak in English. The little kids learn English very quickly, of course. And there are Vietnamese kids in with them, and the parents don't speak English, and many of the Spanish adults don't speak English. But the kids get together, and they have a good time. And at each site we want a fluent Spanish speaker. Now, my son Mike was one of those. You know Mike, or remember him, he speaks fluent Spanish. And that is to speak to the adults. Well, the kids, they're having kids' meetings, and they're having the board and explain the gospel. Someone takes the adults aside and gives them the gospel and discuss the gospel with them in Spanish. So that is something that we have at every site. And because of that, we've won over the years a few parents that have come to the assemblies. Our goal was to help the small Spanish assemblies. All of them meet in the building of a assembly of people who speak English in the back rooms, and they meet there, and the idea was to help them grow and have some outreach. They have a little opportunity in finances, and it seemed to work. This year, there were six kids from California. One of the boys from California designed this year's shirt. His name is Orlando, and he's a Christian boy from the Gardena Chapel. And he designed these shirts. We try to have kids design them every year. And so he did a good job with this one. And that's his second year with us. And Gardena is made up of Caribbean Black Christians. And these are, if you know them, you know they're a unique group of people. They were reached by British missionaries, and they're really a unique group of people, sharp in the word and sharp in New Testament principles. And one of the Spanish assemblies is back there, and one of the nights they have a musical. They have tremendous musical talent. And they put on this program of music, and they have a few other people from the outside come in and help. And my, what a program it is. It would liven this place up a little bit, and because they have a little bit of that Caribbean flavor to it. and our young people really like that. And our young people also take the time during that to sing, put together some music. A woman from San Francisco came, one of the assemblies in San Francisco, name is Mrs. Ball, I forget what her first name is, and she brought two of her teen kids. Huh? Tina, okay. And she cooked, and that's a job, big job. And she said before she left, if there's a step, I'm coming back. And I said, you'll volunteer for it? Absolutely. And I'm bringing my kids also. And her two kids, especially her son, the daughter too, but the son was, while he was quiet, he was really sharp, really sharp. And he was very good at expressing himself. And he got right in with the young people and the kids on the team, and things went very, very well. So our hope is for one next year. Now, what we need is we need leaders. Now, you see, I'm one of the brains behind this, and so is Dick, but we've never led it. What we've done when we started was to try to find leaders right away. Dick and I have never put together a program. We spend most of our time, or at least I do, walking around with a cup of coffee, nagging the kids and asking them what they're up to. But we've never put a program together. The first year we found some leaders and gave it right to them. And Sonia Jarrett came and gave it to them. And except for maybe one or two little things, we've never interfered with the program. They have followed what our desire has been. There's a great conversation going on these days among missionaries, mission boards, and even in seminaries as to the value of teams. I have the website, and I am reading some very, very interesting things. The discussion is about foreign teams of young people versus domestic teams. And there seems to be a trend away from the foreign teams to more to domestic teams. If that's the case, and from what the some of the mission leaders said about the need for domestic teams, and Dick and I have been on the right track from the beginning. Now, one reason why they're talking about, and I thought you might find this interesting, is that often the foreign team goes, very expensive to go. These kids spend $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 to go. They don't know the language, and so basically what they do is help build, repair. Now, one of the mission leaders was saying that in Honduras after the earthquake, a group of kids went down and built a house that cost $30,000. Now that counts all of their money included. In other words, their airfare, their money they spent, that was just $30,000. Standing around watching them build were men from the local assembly who were out of jobs, who were builders. And they could have built 10 houses for $30,000. That's just one example they're talking about. Our team, and we're proud of it, folks. When we talked about this in New Zealand, Dick and I had no idea whether we could even get it going. And I volunteered to recruit. I said there's a lot of outstanding kids in Milwaukee and in northern Wisconsin, I'm going to get them. And but we had no idea if it would go. The first year, we only had 11. The second year, we had 7. And we thought we were finished. The third year, 18. And after that, we've always had over 20, 22, 25, 28. One year, with the leadership and all, we had 40 people. So there has been a lot of interest, and our goal is to kind of keep it at 25 kids. It's gone well, and we've had these kids be able to be bold to get out and witness. They take a foreign trip, they may not be able to do anything much. Dick and I talked first about taking a team to Colombia and thought, what are they going to do? Just look around and take pictures. Then we thought about taking a team to Mexico and what are they going to do? Lay a sidewalk, maybe build something and take pictures. We need to get these kids involved and bold and make them preach the gospel. So the kids learn their boards. Now, in this CD you saw, there was a man there standing by the board. He trained under the Open Air Campaigners. This is a group, I think it was founded in Australia, has great connection with New Zealand, England. And these people know how to get out and witness. We took the kid down to Huntington Beach one day. Huntington Beach is kind of a snooty place. in other words, there's all money around here. And he showed the kids. He put up the board, and people are walking back and forth, and these men are not artists. Their stick men are terrible, and their trees are, well, they're not really real great artists. But when he started talking, the crowd came. And people stop, and they stand there for the whole thing watching this guy take the paints and make little crosses and bridges, and they're interested in the gospel. One of the things Holly wrote here is that You saw how these kids embraced our people, put their arms around them. These kids are hungry for attention and love. They don't get any. First of all, the working hours are wrong. And second of all, it's not really always the nature of their culture to do that. And these kids are hungry for attention. They're hungry for someone to sit down with them and talk. They're hungry for somebody to play with them. And our kids have found that out over the years. Sonia, you go to a place, and while she's half a block away, the kids are running up to hug her already. And to do that with all of our team members. They love the attention. And they love the taking time with them. And so I thought Holly's comment was interesting. And it certainly is one of the things that the team has done. And when we come back every night, the kids come running. In fact, a couple of times in the apartment complex in Westminster, the kids were staying on the curb before we came, and they were singing La Biblia, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book. They were singing it while we pulled up in cars and vans and brought all of the stuff out. And they were eager to go in. The parents have watched. They often stand on the side, and our fluent Spanish speaker at every site just gets right in there and start talking with them. And if they want to know what's going on, what we're doing, we have the person to be able to explain what is taking place. So would you put down on your prayer for this year, of course, whether we have one next year. It's going to be a big task without the Bassetts. And Bill and Angela might come back from Columbia. But, of course, Dick is Angela's dad, and it's just a little harder, okay? And they won't have Dad's house to stay in. And so it's just a little harder to want to come back and do this. The one disappointment I've had over the years and Dick has had, and it's not a big one, is that we thought there would be more California people involved. We had hoped there would be more California people involved so that they could take over. And then all I would have to do is recruit kids and send them. I wouldn't even have to go. So we've had some kids come last year and this year, and they're Latino, and they've come twice. A couple of new ones have come, and they're interested, and we're hoping that they will continue to be interested, even though some are in college, and I think somebody's already graduated from college, and you keep them interested, and perhaps they can help Julio run the team and take charge so that we can be a little free back here to not be concerned about where we're going to find leadership. So I'm thankful to the Lord for this, from a casual conversation in New Zealand. And talking about it for 6 weeks while we traveled around and spoke in assemblies and kicking around ideas and places to having this team develop so well. And having so many people come in. You'll notice in the pictures, one man there, he obviously is not a Latino. I think he's originally from Nepal. And he went to the Philippines and was saved. I think he was a Buddhist or Muslim, but he is working with Muslims. 2 years ago, he got us invited to the mosque. And actually, the leader of it let us sit in on a service. And our kids really, really were watching what was going on. And then we have, in the picture, is Beth Robles. Beth Robles is married to a Mexican man who was an elder in his assembly, but she grew up in California, in Los Angeles, at Avenue 54 Assembly. And they tell me that from the time she was just a little girl, She wanted to learn Spanish and mix with the Latinos. That's all she wanted to do. And she speaks Spanish perfectly. And she comes in and teaches about the family and the religion and what it means and the depth of it, how it has a hold, how important it is in their lives. And she gives some very good insights into things. Beth has given her, she's a teacher, and she's given her whole life from the time she was a little girl. And the man from Nepal came in, and he talked to us about Buddhism and the Muslims. And then, of course, as I said, he had us had a visit. We were able to visit a mosque. So our young people are getting a good view of things going on. There are a lot of illegals there. Julio and his wife, who are going to lead it, came in illegally about 12, 14 years ago. They're citizens. And there was a picture of a man. This was in Gardena, and he's standing there, and he's an elder in the Westminster Assembly, and he was talking to the adults. And he and his family came in illegally. And a number of years ago, they went to the immigration, and they're on a fast track for a green card. His son is starting university, UCLA, in fall. So there have been a number of them that came in legally. Well, I guess that's about it. Please pray that we'll know what to do and that we will find the proper leadership. We will certainly be looking to some of the ones who've been with us before to help out maybe a year or so. And we want to see California people take this program over. And so I'm thankful for what God has done. Father, thank you for helping us to fulfill some of our dreams. You know, Dick and I often talked about this even in Colombia when we working in America and helping our young people have a vision and giving them some hands-on. And little did we know, Father, that you would bring this and make this a reality. I want to personally thank you for the unity and friendship and warmth and love Dick and I have had for one another over the years. Our working together has been quite successful, and I'm thankful. I pray for Julio and help him to settle into his new role and give us guidance about next year. And raise up leadership and the young people who can participate in this program. We are thankful for those who've been saved in Gardena and Westminster and for those in Santa Ana who've come out. And we do ask you that the ones in Santa Ana, where the stabbing took place, that Bible study can be formed there and an assembly can be gone. Thank you now, Father, for all of these kids. Thank you for Sony and Jeremy giving so much time and effort to this project. Thank you for Kirsten and her 4 years of coming and having made friends with new people who came. And thank you for bringing Holly and the impressions she gave to us tonight. We are thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that you'll bless this program. And we pray in Jesus' name.